wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Prophets and messengers and imams, there's no doubt that Allah has chosen them. He has mentioned it in His revelation that He has chosen them. Chosen them for the message that He has in store for mankind, for bringing the message, for delivering it to the people. This is something that we who believe and are Muslims are all aware of as we read the Quran, and is openly said in the Quran. But when we look at the people who surrounded them, who supported them, who sacrificed so much in order to carry out that great obligation, when we look at those people also, then we really get the idea that these people that have undertaken such a huge task of supporting the Prophet and sacrificing for Allah's mission without any sort of ego or any sort of desire attached. When we look at the lives of these people, then we begin to think, wow, these people have also been really people that Allah has chosen for this task. My friends, the prophets and the messengers have been waiting for the coming of Rasulullah. They have been waiting, and since the beginning of time, when Adam came here and all the prophets came here, they have been working and desiring and expecting the coming of the last one, the fulfillment of the message, the one who will complete the message, perfect the deen that they have all been striving for. Everyone had been working for it. You see, they all of them, they have prophesied the coming and the advent of the Messenger of Allah. All the prophets have mentioned it. It is mentioned in the books of all religions. Allah just mentions Taurat and Injil here, but I have read myself in the Hindu scriptures regarding the coming of Muhammad. And when you read these things in these books that are mentioning of the coming, and the persons, the people who are speaking of it, prophets, people who have been sent by Allah, are speaking of it with such excitement, with such love, with such adoration, that when you look at such thing, you are like, as if their whole dream is coming, their ultimate dream is coming out true. When it is mentioned in the book, as I mentioned, in the Hindu scripture, we see that in Samaveda, it is mentioned about one teacher who sat beneath the tree teaching his people and saw a light in the sky, and the students, the pupil, asked him, "What is this light that you see?" He says, "This is the light of the King of all kings, the ruler of all rulers." And then as he is speaking, he's excited. He says, who is this person? Can you tell us something about him? He goes on to explain in detail who this person is that is going to come, and that he is going to bring his light to the world, and that the world will be filled with his light. Everyone who takes his light will find life, and life will be given through his teachings and his preaching and his word. My friends, is the word of the prophet that he said that brings about life into humanity, and humanity will find life through the teachings of this person. They asked him, "What is its name?" And he says, "His name will be Muhammad." Allah. are people who are being waiting, and the prophecy is being sent by Allah in order to tell the people that this superhero, that this champion of champions is going to be born, and he is going to bring light into this life, and you will find life through his light and teachings. This is what's happening right now. So now, my friends, when that is happening, now I want you to focus on the role that the ancestors of the Prophet have played. Really, the role that Allah, the task that Allah has given to them in order to bring about this light. The last 8-9 speeches, we have gone through this. We have gone through the details of how these people, the ancestors of the Prophet, Qusay, Abd Manaf, Hashim, Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah, they all, how much they went through in order to protect this light, to protect the Prophet, to protect the seed of the Prophet, to make sure that it comes. Alright, we'll take a break. Just if you all can move up, as we see that more people are outside waiting for coming in. So send a loud salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Very good. Alhamdulillah. All right, now, inshallah, you know, let's send a salawat for the Prophet. When we look at the ancestors and how much they went through, what sacrifices they have given in order to go through this. You see that I told you about the father of the Prophet, Abdullah. He went to Medina for work, really. He's 25 years old. 25 years old, he goes to Medina. Now there is no empirical proof for what I am saying, but more like circumstances, and I've heard ulama say this, and I believe in it myself in reading the books and the history as to what would happen. It wasn't a natural death that Abdullah had in Medina. It was the role and the assassination plot of the Jews at that time in Medina, who plotted against Abdullah for the same reason that I've mentioned before. And looking at this, really, I came to that proof because of what happened afterwards. And the reaction of the Jews afterwards when they found out that the Prophet was actually born. And that's where you see that these plots came about. Assassination attempts came about. So now when you look at that, you see the role that they played and how much was the effect of what was happening around. These ancestors, all of them, they were believers. They believed in Allah. They believed in his message that was sent to Ibrahim and Ismail, and they followed it and they were devoted to it. They were devoted to it in such a way that our imams, in the hadith it has come from our imams that he has mentioned the ancestors of the Prophet, meaning their ancestors, as the awsiya of Ismail, as the successors of Ismail. These were the ancestors, my friend, truly. When we look at them, that's why when you go to Mecca, you go for Hajj or Umrah, that you should make it a point to go and do ziyarat and visit them and thank them for the role they have played in bringing out the Prophet into life. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, that the Prophet is born, but born with miraculous events happening throughout the world. I mean, he was born with a grandeur. Allah wanted that to be an exclamation mark in history. so that everyone will stop there and look at what happened. That look at, hey, this is not something that you just skip over. This is not a chapter that you ignore. This is not a page that you just turn over. This is an exclamation mark that you and every other person in humanity must come to and stop there and think for a while, what is happening right now? Who is being born right now? What event is being taken place right now? That is where, that is how Allah brought the Prophet into existence and into this life. My friends, that's when we are telling people and inviting people to come to Islam. When you look at the invitation of Islam that goes about forever, it's not just Allah who will be mentioned, it will always be Muhammad who will be mentioned with Allah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And there's a reason why Allah has the name of the Prophet attached to himself. You cannot become a Muslim unless you do not say the Shahadat of the Prophet. You can't become a Muslim. You can't just say, all right, let me just take Allah and, you know, leave aside, you know, the Prophet, you know, he's not God. Yeah, we know he's not God. Right? We know he's not God. Right? The issue is that, listen, there is a reason why God, why Allah wanted the Prophet Muhammad to be mentioned with him constantly all the time, and he does not want his own name taken unless the Prophet's name is taken.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
My friends, there is a beauty, there is a grandeur, there is a marvel in the Prophet, that when a person learns about who the Prophet is and who Muhammad is, it is no way but for him to fall in love with such a person. Allah wanted you to become a Muslim by looking at Muhammad, not by ignoring Muhammad. That's why when we talk about Muhammad, yes, the enemies want to derail the character of the Prophet with all the falsehood that has been mentioned by even the Muslims who don't know better, and they wrote about the Prophet. That's why it's time for us to mention the history of the Prophet, the character of the Prophet, and the personality of the Prophet the way it is and the way it's supposed to be. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So as the birth happened at night, the day after, when the chiefs of Makkah are sitting near the Kaaba, and that's where they used to sit in the morning, they used to eat breakfast, and then they would come over there next to the Kaaba, and they would hang out there. That would be their hangout spot, the chiefs of Makkah. And all the business will come there, and all the decisions were made there. So you had all the big shots like Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, and all the other guys, right? Sitting over there, you know? I guess impressive people to some, you know? They're sitting over there, and they... as they're sitting there, the next morning, right, a Jewish rabbi, a Jewish scholar who had come to Makkah some months ago and was staying in Makkah, came running towards the Kaaba and came running towards them, knowing that these are from Quraysh, that these are people who belong to the family and the tribe of Quraysh, comes over there and says, hey, who had a birth last night? In whose house was there a birth last night? They looked at him, they're like, not me, you know, looked at each other. Did you have a bird? Not me, not me. Now everyone was like, no one here. No, there has to be someone who has a bird last night. Who, in whose house was there a bird last night? I want to know. I've been here all these months just for this reason, just for this purpose. Tell me, what is this? Who has the bird? They said, well, hey, listen, the only one who's not here right now is Abdul Muttalib. So you wait for him. Abdul Muttalib comes there. As he comes over there, this Jewish scholar goes to him and says, did you have a birth in your house last night? Was there someone born in your house? Abdul Muttalib says, yes. As soon as he says yes, he says, I want to meet him. I want to see him. And Abdul Muttalib, you know, is like, hey, listen, I don't know you, you know? And as far as my experience with Jews right now, I wouldn't take the chance. You know? He says, but no, I want to meet him. I need to see him. I've been here, and he explains his situation. I've been here all these months. I just want to see him one time. There is that need I have because of the knowledge that I have. I have seen it. So Abdul Muttalib gives in. His only one person can do any wrong, any harm like that. So he brings him and shows him the Prophet. This is the first day now. The first day, the day after he's born. And as soon as this person sees the Prophet, as soon as he sees him, right away he says, that's it. He's the one. He is the promised one. He is the promised one. And then after that, he goes on into praising him and saying that he is going to be the king of all kings. He is the one who is the last prophet, the last messenger. It's through him that all other religions will be destroyed and all other faiths will be brought down to their knees. He is the one, and he goes on and goes on and goes on and says it, and the rest of the Quraysh are listening. The rest of these people are listening, and you know what? Obviously, one, a lot of them don't like Abdul Muttalib in the first place. They are very envious of him because of the fact that Abdul Muttalib is a strong person and he's a great personality and no one could deny it, and that's why everyone just loved him. But some people who wanted to be in his place had hasad. They were envious of him. They didn't like that he was being praised so much. And so, you know, obviously they, you know, Abdul Muttalib saw that also. Abdul Muttalib saw that, hey, listen, these guys are getting envious. I can see it in their eyes. And maybe, you know, all this praise might hurt the whole situation here. It will hurt the whole situation here. Abdul Muttalib understood the situation that's growing, what's brewing up right now. People are getting envious of Abdul Muttalib and his family, especially this child who is being visited by all kinds of great people who are just walking in. I told you, Sutay came, Zarqa came, all these other people, and there's a list of them who are coming one by one. One by one they're coming to meet the Prophet. They're like, what's with this child? You know? We don't see anything big about this child, this and that. He's just a child. Come on, you know, we all have children. Right? And they're all cute. But doesn't mean that everyone just comes there, and though, so now slowly it's like becoming different. And as it's becoming different, here they hear these things. But 1 minute, I want to stop you here to ask a question. You know, these people are coming and saying that he's going to be the king of all kings, he'll rule the Arabs, he'll be the last messenger, all these things. People are saying these things. Why is it, ask this question, why is it that when you hear it, all these things, why aren't you believing in it? None of them believed it. None of them even paid attention to it or were serious about it. This is a place to ponder and reflect. My friend, how many times does Allah need to tell you something or it to go into your mind? You know, it's like, for example, you know, it's like when you're trying to tell your child something who's playing his Xbox. You know, you tell him repeatedly and they don't listen. I told you 100 times, you know, because their mind is somewhere else. It's as if their mind is somewhere else. They are hearing these things, not just from, you know, like crazy people or retarded people. They're hearing it from respectable people, people who are renowned in the world. As scholars, they're hearing it from those people, and still they do not listen to it. This is a place for us to think about, my friends. Really think about. You know, just like the Prophet is being spoken of, and I want you to come to our situation. Don't just let this remain in history. It would be really unfortunate if we just let this remain in history and just be a fairy tale. Let this come over here. How many people have spoken about Imam Mahdi?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
How many people have spoken about him? Scholars who have been mentioned. Many great people come here, told the world. But how many of them actually pay attention? You know how this is? My friends, really. Unless something doesn't come and smack us in the face, the only way we listen is if we are intelligent. Really. You know, there's a saying, for example, in Urdu, like, Akalman ko ishara kafi, intelligent person, all he needs is a gesture, and he'll know right away. It's true. Because those who are not intelligent, they don't understand those things. They need to be smacked in the face. Right? And then they understand, oh, what's going on? Really, how many of us learn about death, about our own life? We don't learn it until we are smacked in the face. Until it happens in our family. Until we see it right in front of our eyes. We don't. It is a proof that I am not intelligent. If I was intelligent, I would have understood these signs. I would have understood these things. I would have paid heed to it. I would have given it some time. Instead of letting it go by like that. My friends, this is how it is. For example, if someone comes right here to the radio and or the TV in a show, for example, and says, hey, listen, the Savior is coming. How many people you think in the audience and those who are listening will actually say, okay, the Savior is coming. He said it. Let me go and get ready. Would we do that? Or would we say, oh, crazy guy, Yeah, you got crazy people on TV talking about saviors coming here. My friends, really, this is how the news is going to come. This is how it's going to come. You want to brush it off by saying it's crazy talk? Then it's the same way that the kuffar of Makkah brushed off the news of the Prophet. They brushed it off. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. It's because of the fact that this Abdul Muttalib saw that the chiefs of Makkah and the other Makkans are getting jealous of the Prophet, so he kept the Prophet in hiding for 7 days after his birth. No one was allowed to see him. No one was allowed to come near him. No one was allowed to witness him. He had him in hiding for 7 days. 7 days he was in hiding. No one was able to see him or nothing like that. And hence, in those 7 days, on the third day, another Arab by the name of Sawad came to and asked Abdul Muttalib, hey, listen, I heard that you had a grandson who was born to you. And now, who is this person? Right, first Sawad. Sawad was regarded in the Arab world as a very intelligent and learned person. He was a scholar. People respected him in his own tribe, and the rest of the Arabs, they all respected this person, Sawad. He came to the Prophet and said, listen, to Abdul Muttalib and said, I want to see your grandson. Now, Abdul Muttalib said, listen, there's no way I can do that. He's in hiding for 7 days. I'm keeping away from everything like that. So Sawad did not give in. He said, listen, I know what you're saying, but I do not have time. I don't have time. Please let me see him. Here's the thing that Abdul Muttalib was saying. Abdul Muttalib was saying this Jewish guy came, he saw the Prophet, then praised the Prophet, and the Arab chiefs got upset at that. Just imagine if Sawad now goes to them, who is actually respected by the chiefs, and he tells them, oh my goodness, the last Prophet is born and he's going to ruin all of you. So obviously he said, no, I can't do that. He said, listen, I will not say it to anyone. We'll go to your house and there I will see him just one time. So Abdul Muttalib is okay. They went to his house. They go to his house and they see the cradle. He opens the blanket that's on top of the Prophet. He uncovers the blanket. There's a light that emanates from there. Sawad sees that. He looks at it. And that's it. There's tears in his eyes, and he says, that's all I need to see. Yes, He is the promised one. That's all I needed to see. Then he tells Abdul Muttalib, Abdul Muttalib, I want you to be a witness. I want you to be a witness. This is Sawad. I want you to be a witness that I will not be alive until your grandson is going to be old enough to relay his message. But I want you to be a witness that I have believed in his prophethood right now. Sawad was the first one to accept Islam after the birth of the Prophet. He came there and said, I believe in him and be a witness. And then he told the Prophet that I want you to intercede on my behalf on the Day of Judgment. My friends, people, these people are not random cases. They have been prepared by Allah through many years of preaching, many years of signs coming down. People who actually paid attention. These are people who are like that. La ilaha illallah. So now, as we speak about him, we move forward. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Prophet, my friends, had an abnormal growth. He was not a normal child, and his growth was not normal in any way. He grew at a much faster pace and a much more rapid pace than normal children would grow. By the time he was 2 months old, he was already sitting. By the time he was 9 months old, he was already running. By the time he was 15 months old, he was already shooting arrows. By the time he was 30 months old, meaning 2.5 years, he was fighting with the youth and beating them. Wrestling. He's 2.5 months old, but his growth is faster than others. He would look like a strong young boy, even though he was 2.5 months old. 2.5 years old. You see, this growth that Allah has made the Prophet go through is not because, you know, he just wanted him to grow faster. As you know, that childhood and childhood experience is an important part of life. Allah has made childhood for a reason. You know, he didn't make us children so we can waste our time. Or, you know, he didn't have anything else for us to do. There's a reason why Allah gave us childhood, my friends. Childhood, there's a wisdom behind it. It's a part of training. It's a part of growth. If a person's childhood is taken away, you see how many harmful effects does it have on a person's personality and character. A childhood is there so that it can lend itself into the personality of that individual who's going to become an adult. Now, how does that happen? That's a whole different subject. But it has a huge part of it. So here we see that Allah is raising the Prophet and making him grow at a faster pace. Doesn't mean that he's doing some sort of a favor on the Prophet by not letting him experience childhood, even though we know that a Prophet, even though he's a child, a ma'soom and infallible, even though he's a child, he's still ma'soom. He is still knowledgeable, he is still aware, and he is still the same as when he's an adult. But even than that childhood experience is very important. Now he makes him go through that very fast. Now the Prophet is 2.5 years old and he's hanging out with the youngsters in the neighborhood. So when you look at that, you're like, why is Allah doing this? Allah, why are you doing this to the Prophet? Why are you making him grow in this abnormal fashion? My friends, really, this goes back because there's a wisdom behind it. This goes back to the fact that you know that that the Prophet has enemies. Enemies that are within the family, within the Arabs, and enemies that are outside, like the Jews who are waiting for the Prophet to come. They're waiting for him to come. They're waiting so that they can kill him. The reason Allah did this to the Prophet in order to hide his identity from the enemies. You see, if you knew that the Prophet is born on the 17th of Rabiul Awal, and you are trying to track him down and to hunt him down a year later, so you're looking for a child that is 1 year old. You're looking for a child that's 1 year old. So you're looking at, okay, 1 year old child. You're not looking for a 5 year old kid. You see, you're not looking for a 5 year old kid. You're looking for a 1 year old child. And hence, you see, in order to protect the Prophet from the enemies and from those who hated the Prophet or hated the light of the Prophet or were envious of Abdul Muttalib and the family of Abdul Muttalib, Allah was hiding the identity of the Prophet by making him grow faster at a faster pace in order that the enemies don't recognize him, do not know where he is. They are thrown off. And hence, this is exactly the way that it happened. And that's why you see many spies who were sent. Because what happened is this, my friends. One story, and inshallah we will end it for today. And that was that when you look at it, when Abdullah went to Medina and he died there. Obviously this was an assassination. It was a plot to kill him and he was killed there. As he was killed over there and he was assassinated there, the news had spread that Abdullah, who's 25 years old, just got married in the 7th month of his marriage. 7th month of his marriage, he, what happened? Went to Medina and was killed over there. Now, he did not have a son. Amina did not have a son. So the Jews who plotted this plan to kill the Prophet, they spread the news that Abdullah has been killed. And he was the person that we saw the light in. Everyone knew that. And the news was spread to the other Jews of the area. And there was a big celebration. Big celebration that the light of the Prophet has been destroyed. Alhamdulillah, now we can go back and rest and know that our religion is going to continue as it was. And we will still be the chosen people, and we will still be able to say we are the chosen people afterwards. So they were all happy that the Prophet is dead, he is no more, he's not going to come into life anymore. As they celebrated, when the Prophet was born, the signs of the light that came from Makkah and all these things happened. Now the Jews were confused. The Jews were confused. Wait a minute. We thought he was dead, right? Abdullah's dead. So what's the signs? These are the same signs of the Prophet. What's happening here? What's going on here? So as they were now worried, they sent spies to see what's going on in Makkah. They came to Makkah to see what was going on. As they came to Makkah to study and to have spies over there, they could not find anything. And you know, now I'll go through the history of how the Prophet was sent to Halima, and that will come, inshallah. Reason why and what's going on there. But he went to Halima's house and all these things, and then, just let me tell you one incident regarding that happened in the 7th year of the Prophet. When the Prophet was 7 years old, the Jews finally tracked him down and they saw that Abdullah did actually have a son, and this is the son. They saw him as the Prophet, and now there's a party of Jews that came to Makkah to see if he's actually the Prophet or not. Because here's the thing that happened. They said that, listen, last time we celebrated too soon. You know, we said mission accomplished too soon. So this time you want to make sure that it's actually the true Prophet that we are killing. It's actually the real Prophet that we are killing, right? So what happened is that they came to see the Prophet, and obviously he was under the care of Bani Hashim. At that time Abdul Muttalib was alive, and he was under the care of Abdul Muttalib. So now they wanted to congratulate, in disguise of congratulating Abdul Muttalib and bringing them together, they had a party for them. Now, they knew from their books that the prophets, the true prophets of Allah, do not eat haram food. They do not eat haram food. They do not even eat doubtful food. You see the difference between haram and doubtful food. For example, haram food is that which you know that it is haram. You know, this is pork, haram, we know that. Now, what is doubtful food? Doubtful food is food that you don't know whether it's haram and halal. It's doubtful. It's in between. You don't know. Right? Now, Sharia says that it is halal. If you don't know between halal and haram, it's halal, right? But in akhlaq, this is known as mashkuk or doubtful food. Now, the prophets did not even eat doubtful food. So what the Jews did in order to test if the prophet is real or not, you know what they did? They stole chickens. Yes. There was a chicken farmer by the name of Zubaydah. Zubaydah, the chicken farmer. Now, this lady, you know, used to have a chicken coop in her house, in the backyard. And she used to sell chicken and eggs, and that's what she made money. Chicken that, you know, the ones that used to give head, hens that used to give eggs, she used to sell the eggs. The ones that didn't, she used to slaughter them and sell chickens, right? So that's what she used to do. So at night, what they did is they went into her chicken coop and they stole chickens. Right? They stole a few chickens from there. Now it's haram property, right? Haram property. Now, obviously, these Jews, you know, they know the rules. You know, if there's anyone who can play around with rules, you know that, you know, divine rules, it's, and they admit to that, you know, they are that good. So what happened is that they brought these chickens and they made intention that, listen, half the chickens, we will steal with the intention of not returning, and other half will steal with the intention of paying it tomorrow. Making the payment tomorrow. So this half becomes haram and the other half becomes doubtful. Right? So with that in mind, they brought those chickens and they, you know, made the food with that, one part here, one part there, and they invited Abdul Muttalib and his family and they asked him to bring his grandson also so that they can celebrate his life. Maybe a birthday party. So what happened is that they came there. Abdul Muttalib was not interested in eating. He wasn't interested in eating. And so they offered the food to everyone else and everyone else started eating really well. You know, alhamdulillah, everyone's eating. So then what happened is that they saw that the Prophet is not eating. They offered it to the Prophet. And, you know, and he's only 7 years old now. 7 years old, the Prophet. He tells them, I can't eat it. He said, why not? Because it's haram. No, it's not haram. You know, he says, listen, even if I want that, I cannot eat it. Allah has forbidden me from eating it. Now, this is like, okay, you know what? Hey, listen, we will, you know, I will prove to you that it's not haram, right? So now what they did is that we'll put the bite in your mouth. Okay, ready? Yes. So he said, okay, go ahead and try. So now one person takes a morsel, makes a bread, and then he tries to put the bread in the mouth of the Prophet. As soon as it goes towards his mouth, his hand, as if some sort of a field is around the mouth, it goes to the right or the left. Can't get it in all the way, you know. He's forcing it and can't get it in. The other person looks at him and says, boy, let me do that. Another Jew comes in and he starts to do it. Now you got 6-7 people trying to feed the Prophet there. Now, I mean, the whole party is like, everyone's watching what the heck is going on with these people, right? They're like, he's trying to force it down, but none of the morsel is going inside the mouth of the Prophet. They take the other food also that's doubtful and they start to put that in that doesn't go in also. And it's then they understood, wow, he is the real messenger of Allah. La ilaha illallah. My friends, this is now a new effort from this time onwards it will happen about the life of the Prophet. And from here you can understand. From here, the story, I mentioned it even though we are speaking about the first year of the Prophet. I just mentioned the story in order for us now we can understand through this the future of why Abu Talib had to protect the Prophet so much in his house. You know, there was an imminent danger there. It was clear that this danger was there. And hence, this is the reason why you see so much protection was afforded to the Prophet. And the relatives of the Prophet, like Abu Talib and Abdul Muttalib, went through so much pains in order to make sure that they are defending the Messenger of Allah, knowing who he is and what he means to the world. Inshallah, we'll continue tomorrow. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq and a blessing to be on the right path, wisdom to understand His guidance.